Amen, amen, amen. Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome. Dads, those cards are not going to be, we're not going to be raffling those off. They're not for sale, but they will be here, and you guys are going to get to, cool cars are fun, you know? That's why there's car shows. We literally just go and look at cars. So we're going to kind of have a car show here, and we're going to have some fun. Good morning. Welcome to the Harbor Church. My name is Peyton, and I get to serve here as the worship pastor. And just really quickly, as you noticed this morning, we only utilized half of our stage because Heather, who is Pastor Marvin and Angela's daughter, her and Pastor Marvin are in California, and they are at they're doing some camping, just kind of like a bonding trip, and then they went to JH Ranch. And they are there right now, and they will be there, I think, for till Friday. And so when they've had service, we've talked, and they're having a blast, and they're having a good time. Northern California is really, really pretty. And so they're just enjoying their time together, enjoying some time off, and just, being able to put down some responsibilities for a bit and just be together. And that's really, really important. And so they are safe. Be praying for them, you know, as they're traveling and as they're having fun, that they would just be safe. And then, you know, first and foremost, I just want to thank Pastor Marvin and Angela for trusting me with a microphone and with their stage. I say that and it's a joke, but honestly, like, it really has been a really beautiful journey with them, from literally showing up at their house for dinner every night because I was wanted to eat food, and like they just, even as like a broken 16-year-old kid, they just took me in and they loved me, and they believed in me, and then it went from, he was probably a little nervous that I was going to rob them, to then I kind of became a part of their family, and to me walking out healing and healthiness, and then actually becoming a son in his house, and then actually becoming a son-in-law in his house, and now we get to do ministry together. And it's really been a really fun journey, just from coming into their life at a young age, really hurt, broken, beat up, not really, just confused, and them kind of walking out that process with me. And so really, really thankful for them. And now we're standing here today, and it's been a beautiful journey. And so just want to thank them for allowing me this opportunity. So good morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence that we get to carry on a daily basis. We thank you for who you are and just the nature of you. And so I pray that this morning that your words would come forth, that we would just be able to rest in your presence, and that I can communicate clearly. And so we love you, we thank you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning, for the past couple weeks, I've really felt, trying a new thing, because usually when I speak, I like to sit down and think about what I'm going to say and just kind of like be really chill and calm, but that can get boring sometimes, and so I'm going to try and stand up and talk a little bit peppier and have fun with it. And I mean, I always have fun, but just sometimes it doesn't seem like it because I'm trying to chew everything before I spit it out at you. But this morning, we're going to have fun. We're going to go for it. And so I really feel like these past few weeks, the Lord has been just really working on my heart and really just kind of opening up my mind to this idea of unity and this idea of wholeness and equality. And like, I really feel that he's just literally been speaking to me almost like 24/7 for the past 2 weeks, just about what this means, and really understanding that we were never meant to do life alone. That And really understanding that the church is not these walls, but it's the people in the seats, that you guys, that we are the church. And so he's really been opening up my mind to having this revelation that if we are the church, and that if this is what, this is who we are, then Christianity was never meant to be a Sunday morning special. Yeah. You're right. And Christianity was meant to be a lifestyle, and it was meant to be something that we could all walk out together. And so I really, really feel that God's got some cool stuff for us this morning. And so I was sharing all of this, and this even started last Friday. We had our young adult worship night. And so basically what we've been doing is we've literally been setting up an entire band in somebody's living room, like full drum sets, the whole nine yards, mic'd everything. And we've just literally been inviting anyone, and like, it's just been wild. Like it's hot, it's sweaty, it's packed, it's crammed. And it's just like, we are all sitting in somebody's living room and pictures are falling off the walls because the music's so loud. And it's just a good time. Like it's just a lot of fun. And so we started doing this just because I really believe that the next revival is going to happen in our living rooms. I think that Jesus is here, that he is with us, and he is waiting for us to hop out of our box and start just living a life together, and he's going to take our hand and run with it. And so I was explaining all of this. I was explaining all of this to my friend Carter, and you guys know Carter, so he just sat there and he was thinking very wisely, like he always does. And I was just explaining my heart. It probably didn't make a lot of sense, just because I was so. I was just talking like, man, we got to do family well. We have to do this. Like, this is what God's speaking to me. And so he's sitting there thinking, he goes, yeah, that sounds a lot like the Acts 2 church. And I was like, that's exactly right. I was like, that is 100% correct. And I was like, all right, well, that's what I got to do. That's what I got to do. We're going to talk about Acts 2. We're going to read it, and then we're going to go for it. And so we have it up on the screen that I'm going to read. And we're going to read verse 41 through 47, and it says, "So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all of the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day to those who were being saved." And so I also want to kind of read this in the in the Passion Translation, just because it's a good, it breaks it down for us a little bit more. And so this says, "Those who believed the word that day numbered 3,000, and they were baptized and added to their church. Every believer was faithfully devoted to the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility, and they were continually filled with the praises to God and enjoying the favor of all of the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life." And so right here in this passage, we see the church actually transforming their community, right? We see the church, and I love that it says they had favor with all of the people, and that makes me wonder, what did they carry that everyone in their city liked them, right? What were they carrying that made who they were attractive to the people who maybe didn't even believe what they believed? And my question for us today is, when did we start doing things differently? When did we let this become a routine, right? And so, like I said, God's really been opening up my heart to this topic. And I pray I can communicate what he's been speaking to me to you appropriately. Because it's really easy, you know, God gives us revelation about things, and it could literally be the most simple thing, but to you it's so profound. And so it's hard to communicate your revelation sometime, because it's what God is speaking to you and what he's opening up to you in that moment. And so we're just gonna do this. We're just gonna go for it. And so so like I said, my question for today is when did we start doing things differently? And so there's a few things that I notice with the church. Also, one thing that I did differently today is I usually write all of my messages, because when I write things, I remember them. But today I typed everything, because it's a lot neater and I'll be able to see everything. And because all the time when I preach out of my notes, I'll get done and then I'll go look at it and go, I totally forgot half of that because it was just jumbled up in there. And so we're going to try this. And so, you know, how can we look like this? This Acts 2 church, these people who broke bread together daily, they went to the presence of God together daily. And they just loved people. They had favor with the community because they loved people deeply. And so how can we bring this Acts 2 church to life in our culture? And how can we bring kingdom to our community? Right, because that's what we're called to do. And so I've noticed three things, and I think that these are three things that we have to do to be able to step into this. And the first thing is we are called and we have to break out of the boxes that tradition has put us in. And you'll understand what I mean in a minute. I'm not speaking against traditions. I'm going to explain on that a little bit more in a minute. Secondly, we're called to do life together. And we're going to dive into that as well. And third, we have to understand that we can only transform with his life in us. That it's never a thing that we have to do. It's never a thing that we have to strive for. But if Christ is in us, then wherever we go, he goes with us. And the presence of God is seeker friendly. The presence of God is attractive to people, right? It's not something that has to be weird. It's not something that has to be foreign. But whenever we just really walk with his life in us, that is attractive to people, and they love that because it's truly just genuine love. It's kindness, and so we're gonna jump into this. And so first things first, we are called and we have to break out of the boxes that tradition has put us in. And we could also explain this, the walls that we have built up around ourselves. And so I see this in two ways. The routines that we've made. You know, routines are easy to get in and hard to get out of. And because things just become normal to us. Our routines just become something that we do without even thinking about it. And I think routine is good. I believe in it. I believe in waking up at a certain time. I should believe in going to bed at a certain time, but I have not stuck to that yet. You know, I believe in it. But I think that when our routines become so mindless that we're just doing them because it's what we do, then I think that it can blind us from what's happening around us. And more importantly, I think it can blind us from who's around us. And the traditions that we've made as a church, as the church, aren't evil at all. They're not ill-intended. They're just there. They're just there, and it's, I think that it's really holding us from something that we're called to step into and we're called to walk in. The truth is that our routines have kept us in some sort of structured box, no matter how we look at it, they have. And we haven't even really realized it. We haven't even really, like, I think as a people, we haven't even come to this term yet. And so I'm excited to talk about it today. Can I be real with you? I'm going to be either way. So I feel like we've been in the routine of church for too long. And I want you to hear me very, very clearly today. I'm not speaking against the church. I love the church. I love our churches and our community. But I think we've been in the routine of church for too long. Like I said, it was never meant to be a Sunday morning exclusive. It was meant to be a life. It was meant to be your life. Working as one people, enjoying life and loving people. Right? And so I think about this is, and just track along with me, think about it with me, is this morning, you woke up. Hopefully you took a shower. Hopefully you brushed your teeth. You got dressed. You drove here. You grabbed a cup of coffee, maybe a donut, maybe. You came in. You sat down. You waited for the band to come up. You sit up. You clapped with them as they clapped. You raised your hand for worship. You sat down. And now you're listening to a message. No one had to coach you on how to do that. No one had to say, all right, everybody, we're coming in. It's close to 9. No one had to say, hey, stand with us. We just did it. Because it's what we've always done. I think there is so much more to being a Christian than this.
That's so good, Hayden. Good job.
Right? Hear me clearly. I'm not speaking against the church. I love the church. But I think we've been so blinded by the routine of church that we've hit a plateau and we're just stuck in the spot. Right? And the second thing that I think that we have to break out of is the rules that we've created for ourselves. Right? And I'm not saying, hear me again, I'm not saying that we run around lawless. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that there's rules that we've put on our life that God has never intended us for us to uphold. We've put limitations on ourselves that God has never called us to uphold. Right? So I want us to look. Jesus constantly was breaking rules and breaking the religious law in his day, right? Again, hear me loud and clear. I'm not telling you to go break the law. It's not what I'm doing, right? I want you to take this. I want you to track with me because it's something that, look, something right now is that we're both figuring this out as we go along. I don't understand it completely. We don't understand it completely, but that's okay, because if we're ever going to do anything new, somebody's got to do something new, and we're going to make mistakes, and that's okay because there's grace, right? So don't, look, I'm preaching this because God put it on my heart. I'm not saying that I know it all right? But I know this, is that Jesus was constantly breaking rules, and he was constantly breaking the religious law, and we see this in Matthew 8, 2 and 3, where he touched the leper. You are not supposed to touch the unclean. Matthew 12, 9 through 13, he was performed healing on the Sabbath. You were not supposed to perform healing on the Sabbath. John 4, he was talking to the Samaritan woman. He was not supposed to be talking to a woman or a Samaritan woman. He ate with sinners in Mark 2, and people questioned that because it was his validity, okay? Who are you hanging out with? You can't be that great. And we see in Luke 11 where he didn't ritually wash his hands before he ate, right? Which I think is gross. But do your thing, Jesus. You know better than I do. But seriously, we see Jesus constantly breaking these rules and breaking these religious laws. And the reason that he did it was not to just break a law. He didn't do it just to do it. He did it to uncover a truer depiction of God's nature. Amen. He did it to uncover he was saying, hey, look, like there is so much more to this than the rules that you've made for yourself. Like, these things, there are so many things that are more important than these rules that you've made, right? There was never supposed to be this box that we put ourselves in. Jesus was constantly breaking out of this box to show us, hey, it's okay to step outside of it. Hey, it's okay. And it's going to be uncomfortable, but you got to get out of your box, right? And so Jesus broke rules. And I think that as the church, we've put limitations or rules on ourselves that we were never meant to uphold. You know, one of the things that we've put on ourselves, and and I'm just going to say this because it's I've seen a lot in my life. It's the rule of, well, I don't know if I can really hang out with them because they go to a different church. Or, hey, I can't hang out with that person because they have a reputation. Or I can't go to this place because, you know, bad people hang out there. And I think Jesus was consistently showing us that there are more important things than the rules we made for ourselves.
Yes.
So the second point that I want to touch on is we're called to do life together. And I know we talk about this a lot, but I think to be a culture, you have to consistently talk about it. For some just regular words, you were never called to eat dinner alone.
Amen.
You were never called to do this thing alone.
Come on.
And that's something that I love about this Acts 2 church. It says, they broke bread in their homes and they ate with glad and sincere hearts. They went to the temples together daily. They were together. They were a people that was together. You know, in the word fellowship, Carter explained the Greek word, but I'm not going to say it because I don't know Greek. But fellowship literally means to share something. And so the word fellowship, we've said it a lot, and it's kind of got lost in translation, but it literally means to share something. So I can share a cup of coffee with you, and that can be fellowship. I can share a bag of chips with you, and that can be fellowship. Fellowship means to share something together.
Yeah.
So whenever we share things, whenever we share our lives with each other, that's when we are walking as one people.
Yes.
Right? This doesn't make us one people right here. Yeah. Getting together once a week, it doesn't make us one people.
That's
right? It's obvious. But whenever we do life together, whenever we sit, And whenever I can be honest with you and say, I'm not doing great today. I'm mad, I'm angry, or I'm doing great today. Whatever it is, if we can be real with each other and we can sit down together and have an honest conversation, that's when we're one people. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And I look at these people and I really think, like, they had a fantastic time with their life. Like, they just had a good time. Like, yes, there's intentionality with it, but they were enjoying what they were doing because they got to do it together with people they loved, right? I really do think that their life, like, they were a walking party as a people. Like, when they came, you knew there was going to be joy because they were filled with the gladness and the fullness of God, and they were working together, right? And I think they had favor with their city and their community because they loved people. They weren't a club. They didn't label themselves. Wherever they went, they probably just said, excuse me, I had to burp. Wherever they went, I think that they were glad. I think that they loved each other and they loved the people around them. And I think that when you're able to walk in that, you just have a good time with it.
Yeah.
Like whenever I leave my house, I'm just like I wish I could stop at every coffee shop in Hammond so I could see somebody that I knew, so I could just be like, hey, what's up? Like, I love people. I love being around people. Like, and I cannot imagine my life not looking like that. And I'm not saying that I have this figured out. I don't. But I'm saying that this is a step that we have to take to get closer to what we're going for.
Yes,
we were never meant to be segregated by our churches. We were never meant to be segregated by our cities. We were never meant to be segregated by our political stances. We were never meant to be segregated. And I think we have self-segregated ourselves. Right?
Yes.
I can disagree with you and still love you. Newsflash. I don't have to agree with you on everything that you believe for me to honor you and for me to love you and for me to be your friend. We have to get that through our heads. Because I guarantee that every single one of us in here can find something that we disagree on. But we're still here. Right? I can still honor you. I can still love you. And I can still be your friend without agreeing with you wholeheartedly. We are the church. We are not the harbor. Every church in this city is the church. We are all called, and we have all always been called to be one people. Right? And so I'm talking this morning on unity within us and unity within our community. Right? Because that's what we're going for. Another thing that I want to talk about is, you know, we have to understand that, and this is my last point, is we have to understand that his life worked through them to change the culture around them. That his life in us looks like loving people, hearing people, knowing their hearts, sitting with them, being with them, crying with them, laughing with them. That's what his life looks like. Jesus was constantly with people. He was constantly just loving people and saying, "What do you need?" Right? We're called to be a generous people. Without a doubt. That's a non-negotiable. We are called to be the best at hospitality. We're called to be the best at loving people. And so we see this perfect man. We see this perfect person eating with sinners and talking to people who he wasn't supposed to be talking to. And healing people on days he wasn't supposed to be healing people on. Right?
Yes.
And Jesus fought for the oppressed. Jesus fought for equality.
Yes, right.
Jesus sat with the outcasts. And he boldly spoke out against it. Equality is a biblical principle. And I'll say this. As the church, our silence on certain things speak. We were never meant to be a timid people. And I'll say this, and it might offend you, but in the most loving way, I don't care. The Black Lives Matter movement and the feminist movement have been fighting for something that the church should have been fighting for a long time.
Speak it.
Yeah.
Good.
Equality is a biblical principle. We should have been fighting for that a long time before them. And they did it because we didn't.
Good.
Because if we would have pioneered that, and if we would have partnered with the Holy Spirit to pioneer that, then it would have brought unity.
Yes.
It would have been breakthrough for our nation. So look, I'm not saying, you know, I hear certain things. I hear things and I agree with them and I disagree with them. And sometimes I agree with him a year later, and sometimes I disagree with him a year later. It's just how things happen. And so I really do believe that Jesus, who fought for the oppressed, who's against the oppressor, he sat with the outcasts. I think if he did that, then we should too.
Yes. Right.
Right? And I think that's so much bigger than the Harbor Church. I think it's so much bigger than any other church in the community. I think we have to do it together. Right? And I think God is calling us to a new thing. I think God is calling us to do family well. Like I said, we were never meant to eat dinner alone. Right? Together, we make an instrument that's never been heard before. And it's a beautiful, beautiful sound. And the world needs to hear it. AJ shared this, AJ Salazar, who goes here, he shared this kind of vision that one of his friends had. And then the Lord spoke to me through that vision. And so I'm going to speak that vision to you and what he spoke to me through it, because it was really, really cool. So I saw all of these people. It was like, you know, all of us and the different churches and stuff. I saw us, and we were around this tree of revival, right? It was this big tree. And so the thought of it is when you cut it down, revival breaks out. It's not a real thing. It's just something that the Lord was speaking through symbolism. So I saw all of us around this tree of revival, and or this girl actually saw all of us around this tree of revival. And we were all like breaking our backs, trying to hack it over with plastic knives, plastic butter knives. Everybody's like hacking at it. They're breaking. We grab a new one. So we're sawing at it. Not a whole lot's happening, obviously, because it's a gigantic tree and we're using plastic butter knives. But our butter knives were labeled our church names. Our butter knives were labeled our programs. Our butter knives were labeled just everything that we do regularly, right? And right next to this tree, we had all of these power tools. We had chainsaws. We had all of these things, like anything you could ever want to chop down a tree, we had it. And it was right here, and they were labeled unity. These power tools were labeled wholeness. They were labeled oneness. They were labeled everything that Jesus stood for. They were labeled a togetherness. They were labeled all of these things, and we refused to use them because they were noisy and because they were disruptive. And they were hard to use.
Wow. Good.
Come on. Unity, these things that we go for, this thing that we are going for, to get outside of our four walls and to be a church outside of it, to do life together. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be disruptive sometimes. It's going to be difficult to operate sometimes. Like I just said, it's okay if we make mistakes with it. It's okay. We're not going to die because we do something wrong. But while we're pioneering this thing for our city, we have to be willing to do things wrong. We have to be willing to just do something. We have to be willing to sit with people and invite them over to our houses for dinner and love them. We have to go out into our community and love people. You know, if Christ is in me, then everywhere I go, Christ goes with me. And so every person that comes into contact with me sees Christ. Right? That requires some work on my part because I have to look like Christ. But if we are serious about this thing, if we are carrying Christ, if Christ's life is in us, then wherever we go, people see Christ. Amen. And Christ is attractive. We have to be willing to do this. We have to be willing to step out of the boxes that we've made for ourselves. We have to be willing to step outside of the walls that we have put on ourselves to show people Jesus. To be a part of a close-knit community who love each other and they love the people around them. When we accept Christ into our lives, we say that we follow him. However, I feel like we've expected him more to fit into our lives. We make time for him based on where we are, and we fit him in between the cracks of our schedules. When instead he said, drop your nets and follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. We have to be open to this thing. We have to be open to this concept that God wants to walk every day in your life. We have to be open to this concept that he has divine appointments for us every single day. We have to be open to this concept that the church is us, not a building.
Right?
And that's easy to say, and it's easy to say, yeah, I understand that, but it's hard to actually have that revelation of, like, I've said this before, when people ask, how is church today? We respond with, I'm doing well, how are you? Like, it's not, we are not, it's not a service, it's not a thing that we do. We are the church. You know, every other church in our community is the church. Like, we are called to be the church of Hammond, not segregated by our walls. And so if the keys want to come up and play for me, that would be great. Shout out to Pastor Angela, holding it down on those primary keys. Killing the game. Yes. So I, you know, this topic, I feel like we've talked about it a lot. I think about how I do think that the church talks about it a lot, but I think talking about it and catching it is two different things. And I really, really feel like it's time for us to catch it. I really, really feel like it's time for us to understand this. I really feel like it's time to do something different. And it's not really different because the Church of Acts did it, but it's different for us right now. That we really aggressively tear down the walls that we've built up around ourselves, and that we run in this field of freedom. You know, we have always been called to walk in freedom. We have always been called to walk in love. And I feel like we do. But I feel like there's so much more to it. I feel like we're called to love the people around us relentlessly. We are called to be nice. We are called to be nice to people. We are called that when we come into contact with people, their day gets better. We're called to that. Just like Michelle was saying, we're called to be a light, right? And so I want to share this. Last week, I felt God kind of, I feel like he spoke to me and he told me to write this poem, or spoken word, or whatever you want to call it. And specifically, he told me to share it at the worship night we had. But I also feel like I want to share it this morning. And so I literally just locked myself in the prayer room. I think it was Wednesday and Thursday, for a few hours. And I just said, okay, we'll write it. Like, you want me to write it, write it. Like, I have no idea. And so this is what I felt like, this was the embodiment of what he was speaking to me on this matter. And I feel like to truly get this point across today, I want to share it with you. And it reiterates some of the stuff that I said in my message. So, you know, don't kill me for that, because I had to steal some of it for the message. But I also wanted to share it. And so it says this, it says, I wonder if we've missed it. I wonder if we have mistranslated Christianity. I think we've been stuck in routine for too long, and it's time for something new. It's time to stop being content with what we have made God. We walk out our lives the way we've been taught to, the way that it's always been done. And this is where I said, you know, why do we come to church 15 minutes early, grab coffee, donut, sit down in the same seat as last week, stand up for worship, sit down and listen to a message and go home without ever being told to? And why have we believed this concept that that's all that God is? And what if we realize the wonder, the grandeur, and the limitlessness of God? And what if we realized that we could have fun with God? We need to understand that the God who created creativity is not afraid of creativity. And what if unity isn't me inviting you to my circle? Because we all have our own circles, and that is okay. And so by me inviting you to my circle, it's telling you that you have to leave yours to be with me. And that's not unity. Unity celebrates diversity. And unity is when we come together, we meet in the middle outside of our circles. We have to understand that when we meet in the middle, we are leaving the safe spaces that we have made for ourselves, and it's going to be scary. But it's necessary. As the church, we are called to be the forerunners of unity, equality, and wholeness. And this is where I wrote the part about the Black Lives Matter and the feminist movement have started something that the church should have been fighting for a very, very long time. And they started it because we didn't. Because equality is a biblical principle. And so at its core, we agree. I long for the day where the church beats the activists to the punch. And we, the church, has to understand that our silence says something. We have damned entire people groups to hell because they sin differently than I do. And they need to know that whatever they call themselves, God calls them loved. And what if we realize that this whole thing is about love? Not acceptance, but love. Not tolerance, but love. Love for our brothers, our sisters, our enemies, and our neighbors. And what if we realize that God can be found anywhere? He's over, he's under, and he's all around us. And most importantly, he is in us. And if God is in you and I, then we can be the church without going to the same one. We have used our church walls as division symbols for far too long. That is not of God's nature. Plain and simple. Together, whole, and uncontained. Because I believe heaven looks like family, and family is vulnerable. So it's time we lay down our masks and we come to the table to eat as one. It is time to break out of the box that tradition has put us in. We have been in our box for too long. It is now time to do family well, because together we make an instrument that has never been heard before. And it's a beautiful, beautiful sound. We need to realize that the shield that God has given us is not so that we can fight, but so that we can cover one another. We fight our battles by eating dinner together, by praying and worshiping together, by studying the word together as one people, by simply being friends with each other. We have divided ourselves for too long. So grab hold of the freedom that is me, and experiment with that freedom. Go and be like birds in an open sky, because you have always had the wings to fly, and it's time that you found them. I give you permission. I give you permission. And so I don't have a big altar call for us this morning. I don't have this thing planned. As far as, you know, of course we're going to have our prayer partners up here. And we're going to do that thing. But I want us to take communion together. And that's the only appropriate way to end this thing. Right? Because I really, 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 really feel Like, God is calling us to look like this Acts 2 church. I feel like it's time to do something new. New for us. I think that it's time that we devote our lives to loving people. That we devote ourselves for being with people. We hear people. We acknowledge them. We sit with them.